Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. Today my special guest is Tracy Moore, Chair of Musical Theater at University of Hartford's Hart School. Welcome, Tracy.
Hello, glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. First thing I want to do, as always, is get to know the person I'm talking to. So the first question is always just to let us know a little bit about your history, your training, and career that led you to your position currently at the Hart School.
Awesome. Well, I sang as a child. I was, you know, involved in theater and everything from a pretty young age. I think I did my first professional show when I was 14. So when it came time to look at colleges, I knew I wanted to do something in the arts, and I actually ended up at Indiana University, and I was in their opera program there. And it was a great time, and I learned a ton, and I had a really, really good time. So I would go away in the summer and do, like, belt my face off and do summer stock, and so I came back one year, I don't know, I think it was my third year or something, and my teacher was like, you know, what have you been doing? Because clearly you haven't been singing opera all summer. What have you been doing? And I sort of confessed, no, I'd been, you know, playing 8 O'Annie or whatever. And she basically said, well, I think maybe that's what you want to do. And I said, you know, you're right. So when I graduated from college, I went straight to New York and started working as an actor and trying to do the whole music theater thing, and had a good time, did some national tours, did some off-Broadway, and there was a point in my life where I thought, maybe I want to make a change, so I briefly went and got a graduate degree in English, but then when I finished that degree, the only thing I wanted to do was go back to New York, so I went back to New York. So I think I was in my 40s, I got my MFA in acting. And I had a choice between doing an MFA in music theater or an MFA in acting. And I chose acting because it was scary to me. I didn't know much about it, and I never had really fully studied acting. So I had this random collection of degrees. I have this opera degree, and then I have an English degree, and then I have this acting MFA. So now I teach both acting and music theater, which is great. I have a foot in both camps, and I love it. But yeah, I had a pretty fun career in New York. I sang at the Met, and then I did some tours. I was Emma Goldman in Ragtime and on the tour of Camelot with Richard Harris, who many people will know as the original Dumbledore from Harry Potter. Yeah, it's been a great life, and now I'm a teacher.
I don't think that sounds random at all. I think that sounds like you're perfectly positioned with that collection of degrees for where you are now. So what actually happened that brought you to University of Hartford?
Well, this was my third full-time teaching job. I started at Florida International University, and then I went and started, I was the director of a music theater BFA at Western Kentucky, and when the job came up at the Hart School, I knew of the Hart School's reputation, and I was eager to get back to the East Coast. Where I am now, it's like 2.5 hours from New York, so I kind of wanted to get back to the East, and the Hart School had a great reputation, and I came and interviewed, and it's a beautiful facility, and the students are great, and I just really connected with the faculty. It was altogether like a sign from the heavens that it was the right thing to do, and so that's where I ended up.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you said you teach acting and musical theater, so which classes are you actually responsible for? When do the students see you? In their 4 years?
That's a really good question. You know, it varies some. I always teach the seniors a class we call Scene to Song, which is basically an acting the song class. So I always teach that, and I always teach career prep. So I have a lot of time with the seniors. But in the last couple of years, I've also been teaching acting to some of the freshmen, and this year, the sophomores. So I do, like I said, I do really try to do both, you know, the actor training stuff with our BFA in acting, and then also to work with the BFA in music theater kids. So acting, right, career prep, and acting the song. Those are my three.
Awesome. Well, let's dive into the program a little bit then. First question I always ask my guests is, give me your elevator speech about your program. What are some of the highlights, and what are things that, you know, students would be drawn to?
Okay. Doesn't it have to be like a minute? If it's, I mean, the whole thing like you're supposed to do it before the elevator hits the ground. Right. I don't. Well,
let's pretend we're in the Empire State Building. Okay. We have a little bit more time.
God. All right. Well, maybe something in between. Yeah, that's good. So there are a couple things that I think make our program unique. One of the main ones is that everyone who comes to the Hart School for theater, whether it be actor training or music theater training, and we refer to those very fondly as AT and MT. So if you hear me say that, that's what that means. Everybody graduates with a regional theater credit on their resume. The actor trainers work at Hartford Stage, and the music theater trainers work at Goodspeed. In addition, there's a couple of other professional partnerships that we have, one with TheaterWorks in Hartford, and there are another couple that I can't talk about yet because they're sort of in process. But we are always looking for ways to connect our students with either actors who are working in the business, directors, music directors, choreographers, whatever. So we're fortunate to have Hartford Stage close to us. They were working on Gentleman's Guide, and then that went to Broadway. And then a couple years later, they were working on Anastasia. So we had two students who were in Anastasia at Hartford Stage, which was lovely because then they got a chance to audition for the show when it moved. And then they did a show, a version of Karate Kid. It didn't really go anywhere, but we had three students in that. It was a pre-Broadway workshop. And then TheaterWorks Hartford, they did The Wolves, and we had a couple students in that, and they did Next to Normal, and our students were the understudy. So they're getting this experience of working with people who are in the business, and they also get that credit for their resume. So that's one thing. Where's the elevator now? Like on the second floor. We're almost there, right?
It's a very old elevator.
Yeah. The second thing that I think makes us unique, I've already mentioned, which is that we're really close to New York, and our students do go in and see shows. And, you know, you could take a class on the weekend or even go to an audition in the senior year. We actually encourage that. And then we have a really nice atmosphere. I think that our students are, I like to say it's competitive, but not clicky. It's not a toxic place. It's a very friendly and warm place. Even when students visit, they'll say things like, oh, I just, you know, when I came in, I just felt like it was a place where I could give somebody a hug. It's just, it's a very warm place. And then the last thing is we have this group called the Artists of Color Alliance, which is a group made up of students of color and allies, and they actually play a pretty big role. They serve on our play selection committee. They consult with our faculty if there's an issue. And I would say, you know, we are really having a good conversation about diversity in theater right now, which I think is super important. So beyond the basic, you know, acting, singing, dance training, those are some things I think make us a little unique.
Oh, wonderful. So you said you're out just outside of New York. About how, is it a train ride? How long is that train ride?
It's an exactly, I mean like exactly 3-hour bus ride from door to door. If you drive, it's 2.5. And if you take the train, it kind of depends. There's two ways to go. One is Amtrak, which is a little slower. And the other is to somehow get to New Haven, which is about 45 minutes from us. And then to take Metro North in from there. And that's about, so it's about 45 minutes to drive to New Haven. And then to take the train from there is like 1.5 hours. So it's roughly 2.5 hours, give or take.
I'm going to be up in New York in a couple weeks. Maybe I'll try that trip and come for a visit.
Oh my God, that'd be great. Nice. Oh, I'd love it. Yeah.
This is totally unrelated to podcast things, but we're actually looking at moving back up to the New York area, and we're sort of zeroing in on Connecticut. So I will come see the school for the first time because I've actually never been. So
Tim, that would be great. I would love it if you would. And also it'd be great to have you in the East. Would be wonderful.
So tell us about the performance degrees that are offered at Hartford. There's acting, so I'm assuming it's a BFA acting, a BFA musical theater. Do you offer anything else as far as theater performance?
That's what we're doing right now. And the programs have been around. I think they were started in like the 90s. So it's a new-ish program. Mm-hmm. Not super new, but new-ish. We have a lot of students that work, and Marin Ireland was one of our graduates from that very first class, and I don't know if your listeners will know her, but she's a fabulous actress, and there are a couple of people from that first year that are doing really well. But we, in 2015 and 2017, Playbill recognized the Hart School, specifically theater, as being one of the top 15 schools with the most students currently working on Broadway. So our students, our students do work a lot. And the training program is pretty rigorous. It's a conservatory style program. The actor trainers, actually the BFA acting, they spend 10 weeks in London as part of the program. So in their junior year, everybody goes over to London. And we don't do that for the music theater students, because the world capital of music theater is like 2 hours away. So they don't get to make a trip like that. But they can go abroad in the winter term if they want. But it's a very rigorous program. We start with 8 in the morning, 8:30 in the morning ballet. And rehearsals are 7 to 10:30 every night, and Saturday 11 to 3. So it's a very, very rigorous schedule. Yeah.
And do the students get an opportunity to sort of be exposed to different areas of the performing arts in their BFA degrees? Will they get an opportunity to work in technical theater or, you know, costuming or business of the business type stuff?
Yeah. So there are opportunities. I don't want to imply that we are similar to a theater department, because we don't have courses in sound design or light design or costume design. We don't have those courses. We have a professional shop that builds our sets and a professional shop that builds our costumes. However, in the freshman year, all of the freshmen, they don't perform in the main stages, but they're attached to a main stage production in some capacity. So they might be assistant director, or they might be stage manager or assistant stage manager, or they might have a job like running the soundboard or the light board or costume crew. So in the first year, there is an exposure to some tech stuff, both semesters of the freshman year. And then if students find that they dig it, they really like that, then they can, we have some jobs in the costume shop, or they can sort of apprentice out to one of our tech directors. But we don't require as many, we're more of a conservatory style program than a theater department that would offer a variety of those courses. But if a student has an interest in something, we kind of rise up to meet it, whatever that is.
That's great. And what about interests that are outside of the theater? Are students are able to minor in other areas? I know you have a music school there as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the minors that's really popular, a lot of our students do the Performing Arts Administration minor, which would give them a chance, just like you said, to explore, you know, another facet of theater, right? How to run your own company or write a grant for a nonprofit. So there is that opportunity. But students can minor in anything, really. And they do. We've had students minor in French, in English, in math, in computer science, in straight business, either marketing or entrepreneurship. The only thing they can't minor in music or dance when it has a performance aspect to it, because first of all, a minor is generally around 15 credits, and they're already getting way more than that in the music theater program. And same with dance. They're getting way more than 15 credits. So they're already earning more than a minor. So a minor would be redundant for those two. But also, those minors have performance requirements, and the rehearsal schedule conflicts with our rehearsal schedule, and there's only so many hours in the day. So those two, but you could minor in composition, and many of our students do. They have a interest in writing, and so they will do that.
Hmm. That's great. And I love the, you'd call it theater business administration, or I love that idea. I think that's such a good idea for kids to have, because they really are, you know, when you're an actor, you're running your own business, whether you know it or not, or realize it or not. And you having those skills are really invaluable. I know they were for me.
Oh, no, absolutely. And then I also, teach, as I said, career prep. And so we do also talk about, you know, how do you do your taxes as an artist? And how do you get an agent? What's that conversation like? And how do you submit yourself? And so there's some of that that happens. Both the actor trainers and the music theater kids take career prep in their last year. So, yeah, I agree. It's so important to be aware of other things.
You mentioned your incredible professional partnerships with area theaters, but can you walk us through sort of the performance opportunities starting from freshman year onward? What students will be doing?
Absolutely. These are great questions. Who came up with these questions?
I've been doing a few of these.
I can tell there's a certain professionalism to what you got going. So, yes, performance opportunities. So the freshmen, as I said, they don't perform in our main stages. Let's put a pin in that because I want to come back to that. All sophomores participate in what we call projects, sophomore projects. In the fall, everybody does a play. And in the spring, the ATs do another play and the MTs do a musical. And that's a very sort of pared down, intimate experience that happens in a really small space with the audience so close to you and with limited tech support. So you're not going to have like a full costume or a full set for a project. The emphasis is on the acting and the singing and creating character. Then in the junior and senior year, anyone can audition for a play or a musical, whatever they want. So we do quite a few shows. Let me go now in reverse order, which is there are always four, sometimes five musicals a year that the juniors and seniors are in. And there are always five, sometimes six plays that the juniors and seniors can be in. So that's like 9 to 11 possible things that are happening every year for the juniors and seniors. The sophomores, like I said, they are guaranteed that play in the fall and that musical in the spring. So now let me go back to the freshman year. So freshmen don't perform in the main stage. They are attached to the program as to the show as a technician. But we have an honors program, and a lot of our students choose to do that program, which lets them direct a show or music direct a show or do a dance concert or an evening of, you know, poetry slam or an evening of original music, whatever. And the freshmen can perform in those. So the freshmen will do cabarets or they'll do these senior projects and so on. And they also, I'm kind of going a little off the beaten track here, but they're going to be performing and acting. They're going to be getting up and doing their scenes in class. And they're going to also perform in what we call our master classes, which is every student gets a lesson every week for an hour. And then every vocal studio, so like Tim Evanicki's studio, you would meet once a week for 2 hours, and students get up and work for each other. So every student singing an hour a week solo, doing a 2-hour masterclass, you have an hour of chorus, and then in the sophomore year, we add to that a half hour vocal coaching. So I don't want to give people the impression that they sit around in their dorm room the entirety of their freshman year just because they're not in a main stage. They're doing a ton. It's just not a main stage performance.
Right. you mentioned a couple of notable alum already, but can you give us a few names that students might recognize?
Sure. Well, Jawan Crawley before the shutdown was the standby for the genie in Aladdin. And Dan Mackey was in Dear Evan Hansen, standing by for Connor in that. And we had a young woman in Mean Girls, Risa Takahashi. And we had Sheldon Henry was in The Prom. And then I think he was most recently in the Tina Turner Show. And we had Jamal Fields Green was in the Chicago Company of Hamilton. And Ronnie Bowman was out with the Anastasia Tour. I mean, just quite a few people working full time.
So let me ask you this question, because it's actually something I was just dealing with in a coaching before I came on here to do this recording. Are all of those students that you just mentioned that are working in musical theater right now, were they all your musical theater majors, or do some of your acting BFAs go on to do musicals and things as well?
We actually have a very successful alum named Matt Fauché, who was in our actor training program. But he has done a lot of musical theater since he graduated. And we like to say that our actor training program is not for people who don't sing. And so if you're an actor training student and you want to take a private lesson, it's not included in your curriculum, but it's absolutely possible for you to take a lesson with one of our music theater voice teachers and to participate in a masterclass. We also have an elective for the actor trainers that's acting through song that is an elective for them in their third year. Okay. There's a songwriting class that anybody can take. There's a voiceover class that's an elective for anybody to take. So the door swings both ways. We have ATs, like a guy named Steve French. He was a music theater student who ended up he has a fabulous career in voiceover. And then we have people like Matt that I mentioned, who was an AT and has worked in musicals. So there's tons of crossover. We had a young woman that graduated. She was a music theater student. The first thing she did when she graduated was she played Liam Neeson's daughter in a movie. So we have to be ready for, they have to be ready for whatever comes.
What about movement and dance? Are there requirements for the actors?
Yes. Movement and dance? Yes. So actors take movement every semester except for the last one. And the music theater students get a semester of movement and can take a second semester as an elective if they want it. And it's same with voice and speech. The actor trainers get voice and speech every semester except the last one. And the music theater students get a year of voice and speech. And if they want to take the dialects class after that, they can. So yeah, there's lots of crossover. Everybody takes a year of acting for camera, which is so important. And great. Yeah, and that's, I think, unique also for music theater programs. There's not a lot that will require a whole year of that, in addition to Shakespeare, in addition to period styles. I mean, it is a packed curriculum, Tim. It's a little crazy. Good. Yeah.
Good. I love that conservatory training style where you're just totally immersed in it 6 days a week. I mean, that's great. And if that scares you, I always tell my students, then we need to be looking at another degree for you, because that's just going to be how it is. And that's going to be how it is in, when you're in, you know, real life after college.
Exactly. So,
talk to us a little bit about the area where the school is. You know, what's around there for students to do? I'm sure eventually some of these students leave campus to do things. What on their one day off? Talk to us about Hartford.
No, they find time to go out. Believe me, they have social lives and all of that. Yeah, so Hartford is the capital of Connecticut, so it's a decent sized city. We are actually in West Hartford, which is a kind of a posh suburb of Hartford. West Hartford's great. It's a nice little town that has a lovely, they call it town center, and it's got, you know, two Whole Foods and a Cheesecake Factory, and you know, it's got all that stuff. So it's great. There's a lot to do here if you are interested in things like hiking. There's beautiful trails and things like that. It does snow a bit here. But you know, some people ski, some people do, you know, snowshoeing. There's things like that. It's beautiful in the fall. It's just gorgeous. Spring is lovely too. Summer's fine. Winters can be a little cold.
We're recording this in April. Are you getting snow tomorrow? I know a bunch of the Northeast is.
No, I think we'll be fine. I think we'll be fine. And I have daffodils up, and so I'm very happy. It is definitely spring. Yeah.
Not very far from you. They're getting 6 inches of snow tomorrow. So I was curious if that's going to happen. Let's transition now into speaking about the auditions for the Hart School. Approximately how many pre-screens do you see each year?
You know, this year was weird because of COVID, and so this was actually our first year doing pre-screens. Normally, all of our auditions were live, and we do go to the Unifieds, and then we hold several days on campus, and then I will sometimes bop around different places. Like, I know I did your regional audition that happened in Florida one year, but this year was a little, so normally I will see about 1,200 initial auditions. This year I only saw about 950, so we were a little off this year. But that's just for music theater. I think that maybe it was closer to like 1,100 if you add the acting program in. The music theater program, we're looking for 25 freshmen. And the actor training program is looking for 14 BFA actor trainees.
So from those pre-screens, how many live auditions do you see? So you said 1,200 pre-screens. You pare that down to?
Yeah, so normally in a normal year, I would see almost 1,200 auditions live. But this year I saw 950 pre-screens. And then I think I saw, I'm going to use live with air quotes, meaning it was on Zoom, right?
Yeah.
But I think I called back between 250 and 300. And then from there, as I said, we're narrowing it down to ultimately get 25. Now, I have to accept a few more than 25 because some people make the mistake of going to other schools. So I can't just accept 25. I have to accept a few more. Right. But 25 is what we're aiming for.
Right. So I actually don't know the answer to this. So what is the pre-screen review process like? Is it you that watches all of those, or how do you divide and conquer? What does that look like? Who are the decision makers?
We divide and conquer between the AT and the MT program. So there's a panel for each. For the pre-screens this year, it was myself and our head of dance for theater, a guy named Ralph Perkins. And we looked at every single pre-screen, the two of us. And then we also ran the callbacks. So if you got called back for us, you met me, you met Ralph. For the actor training program, it varies, but there are two or three people there, one person usually from the movement side, and then one person from the acting side, and they will look at everything for the actor trainers.
Okay, great. And when you're watching these pre-screens or live auditions, what is it that you're looking for? What are the qualities of a Hart School applicant that would get them accepted?
Yeah. You know, it's a great question and also a really tough question. And I think that that's something that a lot of students will say, you know, what are you looking for? And, you know, the best answer is to say, we want to see you and get to know you. But there are some qualities, I think, that make a student particularly well-suited for Hart. I tend to look for people who are sponges, who are really interested in getting as much experience as they can, who I think have good study habits, because you're not going to have a lot of time to spend on your schoolwork. So I need to know that you're going to pass your classes and that you know how to do that. As I said earlier, one of the things I think that makes our program unique is the environment. Our students are generally lovely people. In fact, they're my best advertisement because most of them are really happy at Hart. And so I'm not looking for someone who's going to bring a lot of toxic energy or negative energy necessarily, because that just won't, it just won't fit in with what we have. Obviously looking for skills in acting, singing, and dance, but you know, we accept people at all levels of dance, right? You don't have to be a, you know, kick your face. If you've got skills in other areas, we're going to look at the whole package and think about the fact that this is really a business filled with really nice people. And we look at you and think of you as the future of theater, right? This, the next generation, whoever that is, they're the future. So are directors going to want to be in the room with them? Are other actors going to want to be in the room with them? You know, are they going to contribute to the future of theater? So it's a really tough equation, but I'm looking for sponges who are basically interested in learning and are nice people.
I always say you're not just auditioning for a musical theater program. You're auditioning for the role of student they can stand to be around for 4 years.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. And, you know, everybody has bad times. I don't want anyone to think that they have to pretend to be something that they're not, or that they can't be who they are, or have a bad day or even a bad week. We all do. We absolutely all do. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for humanity. But I think that the attitude that you come in with says a lot about whether you're going to succeed in our program.
Always. I think that that's something that might have been missed a little bit this year of virtual auditions, is having those moments in the room, just having a conversation. You know, I tell the kids, your talent opens the door, but there's a million other talented kids there. It's your personality and those conversations that happen in the room that really get you accepted.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that the end result, at least for us, is because we're looking at people sort of as individuals, we, all of our students look very different. We'll have a young woman who's nearly 6 feet tall and a woman who's 5 feet tall, right? I mean, they look very different. And there's not an expectation from us of the package that the person is going to come in. We really are trying to get to who the person is, you know?
And you said you have to make a few more offers, like every school does, because you're aiming for 25. How does the wait list work at Hart? Because everyone thinks that there are rules that are followed, and it's my experience that there aren't really any rules with the wait list. It's just sort of what meshes together. So talk to us how you create your wait list and decide what happens.
Yeah, the wait list. I mean, I wish that people could sort of see that as a compliment. I feel like sometimes it hurts feelings, and it isn't meant that way. We don't mean it that way at all. It's just that we consider that our program, we want to be selective and select, so that everybody gets the attention that they need. If we have too many people in our program, then people start to slip through the cracks. And we're very proud of the fact that nobody slips through the cracks at Hart. You just don't. So the wait list for us is there because it's like, oh my God, we'd love to accept these people, but we have run out of room. Mm-hmm. You know? So what happens then is, as people start to make their decisions, and most people, this year I've been so impressed at the people who have reached out and said, you know, thank you so much for your offer, but I'm going elsewhere. And I'm like, wow, how considerate of you. That's so awesome that you let me know. Because then what that does is, that at a certain point, then we can turn to the wait list. You know, they free up a slot for somebody else. So for us, you asked how it works. Basically, we're waiting until May 1st. Which I know is not really a hard and fast deadline anymore, but we've sort of chosen that as a point in time that we're going to, like, stop for a second and see where we're at. And if we're at 25 for music theater and 14 for actor training, then we're done. But if we're not, then I think what will happen is we'll reach out to the people on the wait list and say, hey, are you still interested in staying on the wait list for another week or so until we know what's going on? We did go to our wait list last year. No, 2 years ago we went to, no, we did last year. We went to the wait list and we did take a couple people off the wait list and they did come. So that's wonderful. Who knows what will happen this year? I mean, I think students, because of the virtual thing, I think they auditioned for a lot of schools this year. So they maybe have more options, which is great for them, but it makes the whole process a little more confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah, this is a hectic time of year for students because they're all racing up against that May 1st deadline and they have offers on the table and all the financial aid things. And this year I noticed that the financial aid is also not typical at some schools. I'm not sure if that has to do with COVID shaking the money trees or something, but that's just what all these kids are trying to deal with right now. And there's so many moving pieces to this puzzle this time of year. And it happens so fast.
You know, if someone has done me the favor of listening this far into the podcast, let me just say that at heart, it's absolutely fine for you to write and ask for more money after that initial offer has been made. It's absolutely fine to do that. So don't hesitate.
Oh yeah. I encourage my students to appeal every offer. You never know unless you ask. And it's not like if you ask, they're going to be insulted and rescind your offer or anything. So just ask for more. Why not?
Absolutely. I mean, if we've offered you a spot, we're really interested in you. So operate from that. Yeah.
Remember, grades and test scores are going to get you the most money at any school. So keep that in mind when you're, you know, preparing for your college auditions. So talk to us about what the fall looks like as we're wrapping up our conversation today. What's coming down the pike for you?
Well, our expectation is that we're back to quote normal, right? Which is take the masks off. A lot of our students are already vaccinated. A lot of our faculty are already vaccinated. So they're
so great.
Yeah. So we've really taken that seriously because I think we're kind of tired of being remote with shows. We were in person this year for classes, but our shows, because we can't get together and sing in a room together, we had to do things virtually, which was okay. People did great, but it's just not quite the same. So our expectation is back to normal. We've begun to pick our shows and check and see whether rights are available. We're hiring directors, and we're going to go for it. So that's the hope.
Oh, good. Good. And exciting projects and things coming down?
Yeah, I can't tell you quite, but we are definitely aiming for happy musical theater where you cry when everybody sings and the orchestra plays and you're just so happy to be alive because theater is beautiful. That's kind of what we're going for.
I think that everyone's going to need that when we can finally lift this curtain up. All right. So if anyone has any more questions about University of Hartford, the Hart School, Tracy, how can they reach out or who do they reach out to ask more questions?
Well, I would say I am always happy to get an email and I will point you in the right direction or help you if I can. And my email is TR, which is the first two letters of Tracy, TR Moore, MOORE, at hartford.edu. And so please feel free to email anytime.
Tracy, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope to have you in for some more workshops real soon and see you in person.
Yeah, this was so fun. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we will keep in touch and love to see your face here around the college audition.
Awesome. And if you come to Connecticut, come on by for some pie.
I will. I absolutely will. You have yourself a good day and we'll chat soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.